not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Well, good morning, Sergeant. And here at Stephen Network, and so with us this morning, John Lofton, who works with the Institute of the Constitution. We're going to be talking about For God and Country, and John has written extensively, certainly, about what's going on from a geopolitical and from a spiritual point of view. John, thank you so much for being with us this morning, and you just share your concerns with our audience.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Stanford, allowing me to be with you. I am the director of the God and Government Project. And the purpose, the God and Government Project, incidentally, is a mission outreach program of the Institute on the Constitution in Pasadena, Maryland. The purpose of the God and Government Project is to make elected officials aware of the fact that government is ordained by God, government at all levels, local, state, and national. It's from God. He ordained it. And so the first duty of all people who hold government offices is to obey God, to serve God. And that is an idea that has almost totally vanished from our country. And, of course, the result of that vanishing has been disastrous. We're trillions of dollars in debt. We're involved in all kinds of ungodly, unconstitutional wars and many other things that are evil. So one of the ways we make our government officials aware of the fact that government's from God and that they must obey God and his word is to go before your local city council. I went last night, actually. I went before my city council in Laurel, Maryland. There's a two-minute period before the official business, which allows people to come speak into the microphone. It's on the cable TV. And basically, I talked for 2 minutes about God ordaining government and that their role was to obey God. So the goal of the God in Government Project is to get people all over the country to go to their local governing body or their county governing body and to testify, to be a witness. It's about being a witness and to tell them that, hey, your job is from God, and your job in that office is to obey God. I've written 9 2-minute statements for people to deliver before their local governing bodies, and if it's okay, I'd like to give out my email to anybody that's interested in participating at their local and county level. I'll be glad to respond and to work with them. Is it okay to give the email?
It certainly is. You know, of course, we're solidly behind what you're saying. I just wish America had not gone as far away as it has from its religious foundation, because certainly with a nation against God, it's in real trouble, and we're in real trouble, and yet the majority of our people are Christian. You go ahead, get your email out, your mail, certainly your website out, get out any information you can. We hope our listeners will rally behind you.
Well, let me give my email. My email is like my name, John. My name is John Lofton, L-O-F as in Frank, T-O-N. The email is J-L-O-F, as in Frank, JLOF@AOL.com. I'm also on Facebook under my name, John Lofton, and there's also a Facebook page called the God and Government Project. Now, you said something very important, and that is that most of these people that hold these government offices claim to be some kind of Christian, and you're absolutely correct. But they've totally, well, let's be kind, they've totally forgotten what their role is as government officials, which is to obey God. And I'm referring, of course, to the book of Romans in the New Testament, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. That's the classic text that talks about the role of government. And by the way, the God in Government project is basically based on an American idea that for most of our history was not dead and was not vanished, and that is the idea of the election sermon. It used to be in our country and when we were colonies, and then even when we became America, officially America, that various governing bodies all across the country would invite preachers to come preach to them and to actually tell them what God required of them in their job. That's an amazing thing when you think about today. If somebody goes before a governing body and talks about God, there is a chance that their microphone might be turned off, or they might actually be arrested or call security to escort you from the room. So we must revive and restore this tradition of being a witness. And that's what this is. It's about witnessing. It's not about making anybody believe what you're saying. I had one man tell me, well, it wouldn't do any good. And I thought, what a terrible, faithless statement to say that when you go before your city council and you tell them what God requires of them, it's already done some good. God's word never returns to him void. So that statement kind of made me angry. I told him what won't do any good is for you to stay home and say nothing. God does not call Christians to say nothing.
I agree with you totally. And the thing is that people have to understand that this has been a long, carefully orchestrated program to destroy the Christian foundation of the United States. I mean, it began certainly back in the 1960s when they took God and prayer out of our schools. They knew exactly what they were doing. It didn't happen.
Sure.
Right.
And of course, my view, perhaps your view, I don't really know what it is that our once great Christian country was destroyed by people who claimed to be Christians, people who were inside the walls of the church and in our pulpits. It wasn't destroyed from unbelievers, you know, from outside the church. It was people among us that were progressively against the Bible. They were undermining the foundations. But I want to repeat that this project, the God in Government project, is a witness. We are, in my judgment, in this country, Christians, we're in the Jeremiah stage of telling truth to power.
Hold that thought, John. Hold the thought. Be back. This is John Austin, LOFTOS, and God.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of music.
Be back in just a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, our Stan, our colleague John Austin, and John is with the God and Government project of the Institute of the Constitution. And those of you who listen regularly, notice we have David Whitney from the Institute on every month, and basically a small group working to try to restore us to the religious Christian foundation of what made America the greatest nation in the world. Well, we have a caller. Who's calling in? Do we have a caller? Do we have a caller?
I'm still here.
Yes, go ahead. Do you have a question for our guest? I guess there's no caller there.
Okay.
All right, John, you go right ahead.
Yeah, let me give my email address again. If you're interested in the God and Government Project, email me at JLOF, as in Frank, JLOF at AOL.com, or I'm on Facebook under my name, and there's also a Facebook page for the God and Government Project. If it's okay, why don't I read Romans 1-7, which deals with God and government? Is that all right?
That's perfectly all right. Go ahead.
This is the New King James translation. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. Now, that's a very interesting passage on verse 4, to tell members of a city council that you are God's minister. The word minister is actually used in the text, and of course in the Greek, it is diakonos, which is, we get our English word deacon. So many office holders who have run for office say, well, I'm not running for pastor in chief. Well, you're running for minister. You are to be a minister of God, and that means that your job is ministerial. It is not legislative. It's not to just think up stuff on your own. You are to administer God's word as a government official. You're not to add to it or take away from it. And this is quite shocking to some people that are in public office, even people who are Christians, but of course don't know their Bible. They don't know that they are a minister of God. And God goes on to say in this text that you are to be a minister for good, and you're to be a peril to evildoers. And, of course, that means good according to what God says is good and evil to what God says is evil. So the biblical view of government is that government is not to give anybody health care or education or welfare or any of a million things that government does today. None of them are biblically authorized. So we have to go before these officials, and very respectfully and honorably, because we're honoring their office, and tell them humbly that you are a minister of God, and I'm here to tell you that, and then, explain to them, if they want it explained, what exactly that means. Although in my own city council, I went there, and I talked for 3 minutes. They didn't put a clock on me. 2 minutes is all that's allowed. And they just sat there and said nothing. Well, so what? I was a witness. You know, that's part of the Great Commission, Dr. Stan, as I'm sure you know, where Jesus, our Lord, tells us to go into the world and to teach them all the things that I've taught you and told you, to be a witness. And as I said, I have written 9 2-minute statements. So if anyone wants to participate in this project, they don't have to write anything. It's not about arguing or debating. It's will you go and stand at that podium and simply read a statement and then sit down.
Well, what sort of response are we getting from across the country as people are trying to get our government back, you know, to where it should be?
Well, first of all, it starts at the grassroots. Conservatives, decades ago, made the decision, a lot of them, to go to Washington and start at the top and try to, you know, change things there by, you know, a variety of means, none of which, of course, had anything to do with God or the Bible. They basically, the conservatives that came to Washington decades ago to make up the conservative movement and the so-called religious right, they basically became Republican Party cheerleaders, and most of them were Christians. But they had no biblical view, no Christian view of what government is about. So they just became Republican Party, well, cheerleaders is the nice word. There's some other words that are a little stronger. So that was a bad idea to come and to believe that change comes from the top down. It doesn't. So change, if there's going to be change in this country, it's got to come from the people, and it's got to start at the local level. And I've had about maybe a dozen people across the country. I have about 2,800 friends on Facebook, and there have been about a dozen people who said, yeah, I'll do it. Darn right. Send me the statement, and I'll go to my next meeting and my city council meeting or commission meeting or whatever it is locally, and I will read the statement. Yes, I will do that. We had a couple of guys in our church. One young lady was at a meeting that I spoke at. She said she'd do it. There was a man in New Mexico who already did it and a man down in Virginia. So it's slow, and part of the problem is that that a lot of people do a lot of griping, but when it comes time to actually do something, and they don't do it. And this is one thing that everybody can do, because everybody has some kind of local governing body, either county or at the city level, that they can actually go and sign up. There's a little sign-up sheet for people who want to speak. You know, before the regular meeting begins, almost every one of these meetings allows citizens to come to the microphone and for 2 minutes or 3 minutes, sometimes five, sometimes no time limit. If in some small town areas, they know everybody and they don't mind if you go on a little bit. So this is something that people can actually do.
Well, now, John, you mentioned earlier that, of course, one reason we have a problem is because the church, this really all started in the church. And I agree with you. I believe that many years ago, the enemies of freedom infiltrated our religious seminaries, and they very subtly and very slowly changed the music of our churches, but they changed the message of the church as well. And at one time, ministers preached about what was going on in society and how it certainly related to God's word. We don't hear that anymore. We hear just maybe straight Bible teaching, but nothing about how this applies to the world we live in. As a result, why the church is really irrelevant as far as what's going on in society today.
Exactly. Exactly. And if anybody who's listening can simply Google on the computer, Election Sermons America, Election Sermons America, and it will turn up a whole bunch of sermons that were delivered in the 19th, 18th, and 17th centuries in this country. And the sermons are thousands of words long, and they're all about what God says about government. And there's virtually no teaching today in any systematic way in the church about what does God say about government. In fact, a lot of people who are Christians, the minute you talk about God and government, they say, well, we have separation of church and state, and you know, that's ridiculous. Yeah, of course we separate church and state, but we never separate God and government. That's a very different thing, and so many of our people have been brainwashed into giving the enemies arguments as to why we can't talk about God or apply God's word in the public arena, in this case, politics. Your typical Christian today couldn't If you told them to take a piece of paper out and to write down an essay-type response to what does God say about government, most of the people who turn their paper in, it would be blank. They don't know anything because they're biblically illiterate. All of these problems that we discuss are rooted in biblical illiteracy. You can't apply God's word if you don't know God's word. It's pretty basic.
I agree with you, and I think it's so vitally important that Christians certainly get involved and get involved
yes.
in educating people in their churches and educating their neighbors and understanding that you cannot have freedom unless, of course, you have people who believe in God, and you either are going to be ruled
exactly.
by God or you're going to be ruled by government. And as we destroy the religious foundation of this nation, why we see the ever-increasing power of government to regulate everything, to provide for the people. At one time, a white charity began in the church, with the individual, it began with the church. And, of course, we've gotten away from that. And, of course, what we need is to get realize that when the government can provide for us from the cradle to the grave, that government will control us from the cradle to the grave. And there really are people who want that, who hate the God of the Bible.
Wow. Well, yeah, and the people that will be most opposed, the people that will be most opposed to the God and government project will be people that call themselves Christians and are maybe even in your church, might even be a pastor, might even be an elder that will say, well, we don't get involved in politics. Well, Jesus got involved in politics. Jesus said that we are to render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. So right away, just that one sentence tells you that Jesus was saying some things do belong to Caesar. They are the role of government, that government has authority to do some things, and then other things, government has no authority. Caesar has no authority. So besides, everything today is politics. Let's face it. That's why when the state gets to be huge and thinks it's God, then it infects every area of life. I've heard Christians and preachers and elders say that they would never take, they would never be involved in the abortion right to life issue because they don't get involved in politics. And I was telling my wife, when did murdering unborn babies become politics?
Amen.
We used to call it murdering unborn babies, not politics.
Well, I think we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Hello, this is Ann, and I wanted to ask, when you talk about God,
yes, ma'am.
I wish that there was a way, or how do you say, I do not support the God of Allah, I mean the Quran, the Quranic
sure.
God, and the some of the prayers include ways of saying God that could include that satanic God. And so anyway, how do you address that? Because I want the God of the Bible, the Christian God. I mean, I don't know how, would you say that in the
yeah,
prayer?
Yeah,
and would
that's
repeat
an important
your,
point, and I usually say that.
Address.
By the way, you just said what I would suggest you say, and that is the God and Government Project, meaning the God of the Bible, that our country was founded on God, the God of the Bible. Yeah, I usually say that when I'm on programs where I don't know the host and know what his views are, because you're right. Today most people, I think, see nothing in their mental telescreen when they hear the word God. It's just an abstraction. But that is a very important point you're making, that you have to say the God of the, sometimes I even say the God of the Bible, the only true God there is, which immediately, makes it clear that he's it, that there's only one, and he has a son who is also God, and of course that immediately separates from Islam, among other religions, because they don't have a son of God who is also God. But that's a very important point, because a major portion of our battle as Christians is language and semantics, because Scripture tells us that people become saved ordinarily become saved by hearing God's word. Absolutely. So I appreciate that semantic point. It's very important.
Okay, and would you use the letters of the alphabet, meaning, say, is it J, John, L, Larry, and then O over F as in Frank, at AOL.com?
Yes, ma'am. Right, yes.
J-O. Okay, God bless. Bye-bye.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Hi, folks. Guess what? We don't live in the land of milk and honey. We live in the land of farm factories, laboratory processed, and genetically modified food. Yikes! That's Frankenfoods! And that's a food and health crisis. But hold on. I have a solution. Eat non-GMO organic superfood products. Ask me, Vita, about a $50 gift card. Visit www.greencleanfood.com. That's greencleanfood.com.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
You can buy gold just about anywhere in the world, from all kinds of different dealers. So why do you use the Patriot Trading Group?
20 years of service, just like that. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, just like that. Lowest prices, just like that. No solicitation, just like that. Buying or selling, just like that.
For all your gold and silver needs, call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. Just like that.
Ladies, are you wanting a deeper connection between your relationship with God and your health? More control over managing your own health? To keep you and your family healthy naturally and economically? More vibrant energy for the things that are important to you? Join me, Master Herbalist and Nutritional Consultant Julie Formby, for a walk through the ancient scriptures on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m. here on KHNC. Each show is based on my seminar series called Back to Biblical Health for Women, and together we will explore a variety of health topics from a holistic and biblical perspective, all targeted specifically toward women and restoring your new vitality. As my free gift to you, I would like to offer a taste of what Back to Biblical Health for Women is all about. Download a free introductory copy of my ebook at www.yournewvitality.com/radio. That's www.yournewvitality.com/radio. And don't forget to join me on the third Wednesday of each month from 1 to 2 p.m.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, our American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, John Lofton, out with the Institute on the Constitution. And if you're out there in the audience, you have a question or comment, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Most people don't understand. We're involved in a spiritual battle today. It's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural battlefield, but it's really a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And Christian civilization is under attack today. There really is an organized, orchestrated effort to undermine that. They've infiltrated our churches. They've changed the music and the message of the churches. But then they've infiltrated every aspect of civilization. And look at what's going on today. Look at the things that we see in movies. Look at the things we see on television. I listen to so much of radio, and some of it is excellent, but some of it is just totally depraved today. And this is a great tragedy, and certainly our schools, the purpose of schools is not to educate our children, it's to destroy their faith in God. Because this is primarily a spiritual battle. fought on many battlefields, but it is still a battle against Christianity. John, you pick up the story. And once again, get your email and website out so people can get in touch with you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, John Lofton is my name. L-O-F is in Frank, T-O-N, John Lofton. And I'm the director of the God and Government Project, the purpose of which is to make elected officials aware of the fact, to remind them that government is ordained by God and that they are ministers of God. That's what the scripture says in the book of Romans, chapter 13. And that the first duty of all government officials is to obey God. And one of the ways that the project lets government officials know that their first duty is to obey God is to go before your local city council or your county council and read a statement. I've prepared 9 statements, and I'm glad to send you those statements, where you read the statement which tells them, it quotes the scripture and other aspects of God and government, and you can be a witness. That's all this is. It's about reading a piece of paper. It is not about arguing. It's not about debating. You just perform your witness, and you've already been successful because you've, in public, told them what God requires of them, and a lot of jurisdictions, that's on cable TV, other people see it. Certainly God sees it. That's the most important thing, is that we tell people in government what God says is their job, to tell them what their job is, which means to tell them that their job is limited by God's word, that scripture does not authorize government to give anybody health care or welfare or education or any of a million things that government does today, all of which are really not authorized by God or the United States Constitution. And that's one of the reasons we have trillions and trillions of dollars of debt in this country, because there are no limits that most government officials even recognize. It's quite amazing, Dr. Stan, to think that roughly up until the 1930s, Franklin D. Roosevelt, all of the health, education, and welfare in this country was provided privately by the Christian church or by private Christian organizations or by other non-Christian private voluntary organizations. You mentioned a minute ago that we're in a spiritual war. Well, that's absolutely true. And one theater of combat in that war is politics. No doubt, politics is part of that war. God tells us about the spiritual war in the Bible. He even tells us how to fight it, the full armor of God. We're to fight the spiritual war in the full armor of God. And part of that armor is God's word, the sword of truth, I believe it's referred to in the book of Ephesians. So we're to go before our governing bodies and to tell them the truth, and to, as I said earlier, to do it very respectfully and very humbly, but very, very firmly. And whether or not they respond to it or ignore it, that's not really our job. As a witness, our job is to witness. It's not to really make anybody believe anything.
All right. Well, we have a caller, another caller. Who's calling in?
Hi, this is Ann again, and I wanted to ask, I think that I'm having an individual meeting, either, with yourself alone or with others that you would collect to go visit, and meet individually with these governing officials, would be also effective. And I think that if you illustrate whatever the legislation is currently, meaning sometimes there are bills that are so outrageous, that are so over the top, that we need to meet with them anyway, individually, because particularly for city council, it's not like the U.S. House members, and you'd have to travel all the way to Washington, D.C. or whatever.
Right.
But to also meet with our state representatives and especially the senators, the state senators, and the state House of Representatives. And also, there are you know, the illegals getting the vote is the most horrendous thing, because they will vote the one party, Democrat Party. So I just want to encourage people to meet individually with their city council members. And then maybe if you want, you know, have others meet with you with them and say, you know, this is what the God of the Bible says about what the governing issue is that you are to enact.
Okay, well, thank you so very much. I certainly agree with you. Your points are well made. God bless. Thank
yeah, that's a good point. And I should say that the God in Government Project, which is talking about a public witness at a city council meeting, is certainly not the end of our job. It is just one way that we witness. Another way, obviously, is to meet privately with the member of your city council or county council, and to ask them, do you agree? You know, when you look at the religious affiliation of most elected people across the country, I'm talking about local, state, and national, most of them, meaning over half, claim some sort of Christian affiliation. They're in a building on Sunday at some church. So at least half the time and or more, you're talking to someone who already claims to be a Christian. So this can't be offensive, or it's not like you're trying to convert someone. You're talking to someone who says they already believe, and you're simply telling them some details about what they ought to be doing in this particular job. And I would not hesitate to put them on the spot if you meet privately and say, do you agree with this? Do you agree that God has something to do with government and that it is God who sets the limits of it? Do you agree with that or not? And, you know, write this down, because that may be useful information when the next election comes around. You want to remember who are the Christians that actually want to obey God and who are the ones who think that's not even an important issue.
Well, hold that thought. We're going to go to a break. We have a caller. Call 877-254-7524. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes, or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742. Or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Avoid being bitten by the cold and flu bug by increasing your body's own defense system. Call me, Julie Formby, certified master herbalist, for a free 15-minute phone consult and save 20% off three powerful products that protect you against colds, flu, bacterial infections, viral outbreaks, and will drive down fevers. Your free new vitality consult and a 20% product discount is for a limited time. Call 970-203-9540. That's 970-203-9540.
You're invited to join the Beth Messiah congregation and celebrate Passover 2014 on Monday, April the 14th, the Ramada Plaza Hotel in North Glen. You have your choice of a delicious lamb or turkey entree. Adults are $36, children 9 through 12 are $20, children 6 through 9 are $18, and children under 5 are free. Deadline for making your reservations is Friday, April the 4th. Call 1-800-205-6245 and make your reservation for Passover now. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, here are morning Don Lawson, and I think we have a caller. Who's calling in?
Dr. Stan, it's Maureen, and I want to thank you and your guests for your stance for God and liberty. I'd like to say that what your guest has said is not only the very right thing to do, it also works. Years ago, I was teaching school at a church school where the pastor, who was the principal, said, oh, no, politics is dirty. I'm not going to get involved in it. We shouldn't be entangled, all this stuff. And I kept begging him. And I was teaching U.S. Constitution, and I had written the course myself. Anyway, then he didn't want to become involved in politics until the Colorado Board of Education decided to take over the micromanagement of church schools. And all of a sudden, the pastor became very politically active. And I'll tell you how this works. We, six people, I was one of them, six people went down and testified before the Colorado Board of Education and told them, we're not going to have you taking over the micromanagement of these schools. And they backed down. So, folks, please be encouraged. Do what's right. Do witness for God before your local governmental bodies. And just keep on keeping on for God and country.
God bless you. Thank you, Maureen. Any thoughts on that, John?
Well, yes. She makes a very, it's a wonderful, encouraging story. I wish every kind of appearance by Christians had that kind of result. But and I do, I am heartened by that story. But I would emphasize again that we as individual Christians must witness, even if no one responds and our witness appears to be totally useless, a total failure, because we know, because God tells us, that his word never returns to him void. In other words, when his word is faithfully preached, it's never a failure. It's never useless. It always accomplishes his purpose, even though we may not see what his purpose is. I had one man tell me, well, like I think I alluded to it earlier, that, well, he thinks this is a great project, but he's not going to do it because we're under God's judgment, we're under his wrath, and we're all doomed, and blah, 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 blah. And I got angry and thought, it never occurred to this man that maybe part of the reason we're under God's wrath is because of people like him who claim to be Christians, but when asked to actually go say something Christian in public at his local city council meeting, which is, you know, a two-minute statement every 2 weeks, he wouldn't do it. That seemed to never cross his mind that you know what, that part of the reason we're under God's judgment is because Christians are not obeying God. And at my own city council meeting last night, I was the only person who spoke. The chamber was basically empty. And that's one of the reasons government does what it does, is because they can. Nobody's watching. Nobody cares. Almost nobody turns out unless there's some very special subject being discussed where their ox is being gored. Then they come. And then they lobby for their own little special goodie from the government or something they oppose. You don't have a church presence. My goodness, even in my small town of Laurel, Maryland, and the surrounding communities, there must be thousands of people that are Christians that could show up and say something Christian to that council. It would make a huge difference, I do believe, to have hundreds of people pack that place every meeting to say something Christian. But there's no one there.
Well, I think, of course, that Christians should be involved in politics. I think that they should get started at the local level.
Yes.
Christians should be helping other Christians who are running for political office. But we have to be involved, because if we're not involved, we simply lose automatically. And believe me, the evil people are well organized, they're well financed. They understand the importance of taking over control of local government, and that way they can begin to destroy the very fabric of our society. There are people who really believe what we need is a ruling elite, and they have that right to do it. And we lose by default if we're not involved. But we've got about 2 minutes for you to wrap up the program. Why don't you just go ahead?
Yeah. If Christians are involved in politics, then it's almost impossible to escape politics today because the state, the government, at all levels is into every single thing we do everywhere. It's impossible to avoid politics. But it's a very important point that I want to end by emphasizing that we must be involved in whatever we do as Christians, not as Republicans or not as conservatives or anything like that. And that's the mistake that Christians have made for the last several decades, and I know because I participated in that and saw it happen. They were involved as Republicans or conservatives, which really do not, conservatives and Republicans have no godly view of government. So in that sense, their view is godless. It's just like liberals and Democrats who are godless. They're two atheistic peas in a pod operationally. So we must be involved in politics as Christians to proclaim the word of God as it applies to the political realm. And we haven't done that.
I agree with you totally. I think it's so vitally important.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I appreciate your time.
I beg your pardon. Go ahead.
I said thank you very much for your time. And I hope people will contact me and say, yeah, sign me up. Send me the statements you have. And let me look at them, and I'll go before my city council next meeting or my county council. Call if you like before your state legislature, but really starting at the local level is where change, if it's going to occur, will start, no doubt about it.
And one more time, get your email out and your website.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. The name is John Lofton, L-O-F as in Frank, T-O-N, John Lofton, and the email is J-L-O-F as in Frank, J-L-O-F at AOL.com, or you can find me on Facebook, and I'll be glad to respond and to help you with your witness.
God bless. Thanks for all you do, John. We'll talk to you real soon. Give my
Thank
best to Michael and the other people back at the Institute.
Well, God bless you.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on! Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
All of God's people have a ministry, and it's a trick of our enemy to keep God's people sick and worn out to hinder their ability to minister. We are often judgmental toward people who are addicted to booze, cigarettes, and drugs, but we at the Green Herb have found that most of God's people are unknowingly addicted to the two most addictive products in America, sugar and soda pop. If you have a sickness or disease, or if you're just tired a lot, the Green Herb has an herbal product that is formulated just for you and is just $15.95. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Stand back here for the final statement. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, well, I would love to hear from you. Certainly, we have a great new 4-CD set, Did Hitler Escape? the idea that Adolf Hitler was not only did not die in the bunker in Berlin, but that he was allowed to escape, that people in our government knew he had escaped, is so foreign to the average individual. And yet, if you work for government, you are sworn to secrecy, and you're never allowed to reveal what you know, or otherwise you lose your job, you'll be blacklisted, they'll come after you. And basically, Hitler was allowed to escape to South America. We have actually interviews with people who've been to South America, who've talked to people in South America. The people in Argentina and in Brazil, well, most of them know Hitler was there. They know that the Nazis came there. Tens of thousands of them were actually helped to escape to South America. And these were many of the major war criminals of that era. And you must understand that this has been carefully covered up, and that's why this 4CD set is so vitally important. Did Hitler escape? You can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Well, we actually carry the book Gray Wolf, written by Gerard Williams and his associate. We interviewed Gerard with our DVD. We are having difficulty getting Dr. Corsi's book. Hopefully it'll be back in print. It's not going to be suppressed. Believe me, the people who run things in America will do everything they can to suppress this story. Why? Because if the story, our perception of Adolf Hitler's death is false, then what else is false? Of course, I would point out, most of what you believe just isn't true. Your reality is controlled by those who control the media, and the media is controlled by six major corporations, all of which tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. The telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com, you can go there, you can listen to our radio programs on the internet, live 4 hours a day, and the archive 24 hours a day. You can watch our DVDs, or you can read our newsletters. And then we have all sorts of sections there, on whether it be on the Georgia Guidestones or on population control. We have a segment that we're actually... it's called Other Items on the Internet. It's up at the top, just below the big blue banners there. And we recommend that. We post things there almost on a daily basis. Things which are funny, or things that are interesting, or things that are vitally important for you to see. I think that we try to post things that will help you to better understand what's going on today. But we really are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. There really are truly Luciferian forces that want to destroy America. And today they are operating at the highest levels of our government, using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a world government. And they are as concerned as I am. The whole economic system of the earth collapse. Make your preparations. Help Radio Liberty. Cast your time. Pray for Radio Liberty. Our commission protection. So far, may the Lord.